Amen. Looking at verse 19, 1 John 3:19, we'll read verse 19 to 24. God's word says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." He's omniscient, omniscient. God is all-knowing. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." The fifth motivator to love and obey God is the witness of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit. We could say the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God did not save us and just give us his word. Now, praise God, we have his word. Okay? Praise God, we have the Bible. But without the Holy Spirit, this would just be another book. This would just be more words. This would just be like going into your library or bookshelf and pulling off any other book and reading it. This is what it would mean to us without the Holy Spirit. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. So God gave us, as we all know, God gave us his Spirit. This is the motivator. "Behold, I will not leave you comfortless. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." How is he with us always, even unto the end of the world? He's with us by the Spirit. So that's a motivator for love and obeying God. Let's go to our Bibles. We'll come back here in a moment. But let's go to our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Now, as we love and obey God, as we love and obey God, we're going to have to do that. The only way to do that is through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not only is it a motivator, it's necessary for us to obey God. It's necessary for us to love God. Notice in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. "For as many as are led by the" who? Or Spirit of God. What are we? The sons of God. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," thank you, "but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's something we were talking about early on in this series, is the fact that we are the sons of God. We are, and we are not this series, this chapter, 1 John chapter 3, the emphasis of being part of the family of God, joint heirs with Christ. But no, let's look back at this and go through it one more time. Led by the Spirit of God. So if you're not a son of God, if you're not a child of God, we can't be led by the Spirit of God. So those that are without Christ, they aren't led by the Spirit of God. They're led by another spirit, okay? They're led by the enemy. There's only two people leading. There's only two people, you know what I'm saying? There's either the Spirit of God or there's the spirit of the enemy leading people today. So you would have to fall and I would have to fall in one of those two categories. And so as it says here, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And notice verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." True Christianity is deep in the heart. It's not just surface. It's inward. How is it inward? It's inward in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He confirms that I am and that you are a child of God. It's inward. But it works its way outward. We want what's inward to work its way outward, don't we?
We want the leading of the Holy Spirit. We want the love of God. We want the power of the Holy Spirit of God to be seen on the outside and to be a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look up at verse 15. Verse 15, I know, in our back to our text, sorry, of 1 John chapter 3. It's inward. So we must guard against some things inwardly that are contrary to the working of the Holy Spirit of God. One of them would be, verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. How could someone who's a Christian get to the place of hating another Christian? How could someone get to the place where, you know, it's family of God? Or even anyone else for that matter? You know what I think of? I think of bitterness. Bitterness. In the church, we will be offended. We will, someone will wrong you. Someone will talk about you. Someone will talk about me. And there's a right and a wrong way to handle it. And what we don't want is we don't want something getting down inside and taking root like bitterness. Because bitterness destroys the container that it's kept in. And what does that do? It doesn't help us. It doesn't enable us to live for God. It doesn't enable us to obey God. It doesn't enable it. And by the way, it's contrary to the Holy Spirit. This is not something that the Holy Spirit is going to put up with in my life, in your life. Must not allow bitterness to take root. Must be willing to forgive. Just recently, part of the discipleship lesson that I'm going through with one of the men in the church. When something happens like that, you have a few options. Number one, you can just forgive them without even going to them. If you can do that, that's the first option. But if you can't do that, then you need to go to that individual. And you need to talk to them about it. Just you and that individual. Not you going to five other people and saying, you're not going to believe what so-and-so did. You're not going to believe what so-and-so did. That's not math. That's not what the Bible says in Matthew. It says to go right to them. If that doesn't work, then you do. You go get a brother or a sister, and you go to them. The point is this. This is an inward thing. You know, again, we talk about outward sins that are very, very prominent and very well known, and we can see the outward sins. But the sin of bitterness is something that usually isn't seen very quickly. It isn't maybe even seen for a long time. Might not even be seen for decades. That someone is going back 20 years to when something happened, and it's not saying that what happened wasn't wrong. It's very wrong typically. But what we cannot do, we don't want to quench the Spirit of God. We need that inner working of the Spirit of God in us to have victory in our life, to obey God, to love God. We need that witness of the Holy Spirit. But the more that we hang on to something, that's just one example. Look at verse number 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. We have confidence toward God. God has given us His Spirit to guide us into all truth. God has given us His Spirit to give us victory daily. How many of us recognize we need the Spirit of God to have victory every day? We need His Word. We need the Holy Spirit of God helping us to make godly decisions. We need that confidence. What is the confidence? It's the confidence toward God, that I am no longer condemned. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. This is the inner working of the Holy Spirit of God. When Satan says, you know, you're no good. When Satan says, why did you do that? When Satan says, God doesn't love you. When Satan begins to lie, and because that's all he is, the father of lies, isn't he? Then we need to remember Romans 8:1. Where the Bible says, there is therefore, now. This word now is meaning a present moment, but it's also meaning forever. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That word no, it's in an emphatic position. It's in an intensified, emphatic position. There's no condemnation. And so as we consider what it says in John's gospel, or in John's epistle here, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And so, but it's leading into something. It's leading into prayer. If we think we're still condemned, it's going to affect our prayer life. If we think that we're still condemned, it's going to affect as we go to the Lord. This confidence leads into verse 22, which says, and whatsoever we ask. Because we have the confidence toward God, we believe God can do anything but fail. That working of the Spirit of God, that witness of the Spirit of God, gives us that confidence, gives us that boldness, that whatever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Answered prayer comes as I am obedient to God and I seek to please Him. We cannot allow the enemy to continue to place things in our mind and in our heart that of condemnation. We are no longer condemned. We are free. We are on our way to heaven for all of eternity. Look at verse 23. How simple does God make it here? He makes it pretty simple. I underlined two words, believe and love. Believe and love. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, will bring us to love one another. It will bring us to please the Father. I mentioned it to Pastor Nathan, I think, earlier today, that I was listening to a message, and the gentleman was talking about our relationship with God. Do we look at God as our Father? I wrote it down here. Or do we look at God? Where's it at? I wrote it down because I knew I'd forget, and I forgot. Or our employer? Think about it. He's not your employer. He's your Father. If He's your employer, then you live the Christian life in a performance-based thinking. You do not have to perform for God. He's our Father. Our Abba Father, as we read earlier, right? And seeking to please the Father. It's not that I have to. It's because I want to. It's we get to the place where we don't want to be involved in something that would be dishonoring to God. It isn't the idea of, oh man, I'm missing out on so much because I'm a Christian. That's not the right attitude. That might be the attitude of a baby Christian. Let's give people time to grow, you know. But as we grow in grace, the attitude should not be, I'm missing out on so much. It's, I'm glad I'm not involved in that because I know that doesn't please the Father. I don't want to be involved in that. I want to be involved in things that please God. Here it says, this is the commandment, that we believe on the name of His Son, love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, verse 24. The way I live verifies who is in me. So who is in me will come out on the way that you and I live. This is a verification. Who's controlling you? Who's controlling me? It's going to show up in the way I live my life. Who am I yielding to? Even as a Christian, we have a daily task and a multiple times in the day of who are we going to yield to? The world, the flesh, the devil, or are we going to yield to the Holy Spirit of God? Satan still tempts you. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can't yield to his temptation. That's why it says, yield not to temptation, or yielding is sin. The temptation is not a sin, the yielding thereof is. You know, that's why I've got to have time in the Bible. That's why I've got to have time in prayer. That's why I've got to be filled with the Spirit of God, because there's still opportunities every day of your life and mine. Lack of faith. What does the Bible says? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Something I've been praying for more in recent days and should pray for it every day. We need more faith. The longer I am saved, the more I should look like my Father. Not my employer. You look more like your Father than when you first got saved? That's what we should look like. The more I get saved, the longer I'm saved, the more I should act like my Father. You know what my father does? My father loves people who hate him. You know what my father does? My father has mercy on people that don't deserve it. That's my father. And that's how I should live as a Christian. The longer I'm saved, the more I should be thinking like God. Yes. How would God want me to respond in this way? How should I act right here? I know how I want to act, but I don't think that's the way my father wants me to act. See, those things will come out. Notice he says there, believe on the name of his son. Look at that. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. What a name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John says, you got to believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and there's power in that name. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're being tempted, just start saying the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ arose again for me. There's power in that name. That's what John said. We must believe on the name of our... What does it mean to believe on someone's name? It means to pattern my life after him. You have a name. I have a name. I have a family name. Turner. That's my family name, not Turnip, Turner. That's what it was in elementary school, okay? Yeah, Turnip, you know. I'm like, okay, whatever. I can make fun of yours too, but I won't. Turnover. That was on the basketball court, right? Turnover. Wanted to limit the turnovers on the basketball court. But we have names. We all have a family name. What does that mean? I know your name has a meaning, but I'm saying when John writes here in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, believe on the name, it means I know this name is powerful and I want to pattern my life after this name. And you know, I thank God for my father, my earthly father. He gave me the name. Turner. I believe in that name. And so what do I want to do? I want to pattern my life after my dad. Not a perfect example. No, there's no dad that's perfect. But when we look in the Bible and we when God says pattern your life or believe in the name of Jesus Christ, well, there's a perfect example. There's a perfect example to follow. A name equals character. When you hear of a name, there's a character that you think of, or a form of character. I don't mean like, you know, Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck, not those kind. Well, when you say someone's name, a historical name, we immediately have an idea of their character. Evil, kind, compassionate, lazy. Hopefully not anybody in this room. But a name equals character. You grew up with kids, I grew up with kids, and if we could all think about all the people we went to high school with or junior high or whatever, their name represents something to you now. Hopefully it's good things. But probably not all of them are. Hopefully when they think of your name, they think of somebody that was kind to them. I don't know. Right? You know what I'm saying? We think of the name of Jesus Christ. Perfection. That's the name that we want to believe in. That's the name that we want to exemplify. There goes a follower of Jesus Christ. And they were called Christians first at Antioch. There goes a follower of Jesus Christ. That person, something's different about that person. Dwelling in him. That's what helps me to believe. Verse number 23. Believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so if we believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, then out of that will come the second greatest commandment of all. Love one another as he gave us commandment. John 13:34, you can find it there. This is the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. First commandment is obviously love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is likened to it. So as I am allowing the witness of the Holy Spirit of God to work in me, as I am patterning myself after the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as I'm believing on the name of him, and he'll never let me down. You've believed in people that have failed you. I've failed people that believed in me. He'll never let us down. When we're believing in Him, we're believing in someone that will always provide for us. We're believing in someone who will always be right on time, on His time, not mine though. We're believing in someone that already has the need ready for us. It's ready to meet us the best day that we can have that need met. It's already there because He's faithful. His character speaks for itself. And so as we believe on Him and we want to live in His character and exemplify His character, what will come out of that? What will come out of that is a love for one another. Verse 24, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Spirit is indwelling you, and the Spirit is indwelling me. And the Spirit has a desire to not just indwell us, but the Spirit has a desire to control us. And what will the Spirit what will the Spirit lead us to do? Always to the will of God. Always to the will of God. Always to the Word of God. He will never lead us contrary to the things of the Word of God. I'd like to just go back up to verse 22 for just for another moment or two. As we're going into our prayer time in just a few minutes, notice what verse 22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. You know, the longer that we're saved, the longer that we allow the Holy Spirit of God to control us, the longer that we believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, then it's going to affect our prayer life. In this way, we're going to ask things that He would want us to ask. You know, sometimes we ask for things and we want to make sure, now God, if this isn't Your will, I don't want it in my life. And it doesn't mean we're asking amiss. It's not like we're asking for a Lamborghini or anything like that. But it just might mean that whatever we're asking for, it isn't what God has for us in that time. But the longer that we're letting the Holy Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, we're believing on His name, we're loving the family of God, the more in tune we are with what we are to ask for. Not only for ourselves, but for other people. And that's why the promise is here, whatsoever we ask. Why? Because the confidence, verse 21, the confidence is not in me, the confidence is in God. You know, we have a prayer page that is filled, we have a prayer page that is filled with requests. And you know, we need to have the faith, we need to have the faith to believe that God can meet every need on this prayer page. Do you believe God can meet every need on this prayer page? We must believe that. As we go to Him in prayer, we pray believing because our confidence is not in Him. Our confidence is not in us. Our confidence is in Him. Why? How do we have that confidence? Because the Spirit that's indwelling us gives us that confidence that if we shall ask anything in His name, He will do it. I mean, there's some needs on here that have been on here for many years, mainly the people that are still lost. Right over here on the harvest field, some of these people we've been praying for years. I'm not saying that's a complaint. I'm just saying we have to believe that they will be saved by according to the will of God. He is not willing that any should perish. Some of your family members are on this prayer page. Some of your work associates are on this prayer page. Some of our contacts are on this prayer page. And as we are, the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling us. We're believing in the name of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're loving one another. Our confidence is growing in the Lord. We must believe that God can do anything but fail, and that includes meeting every need on this prayer list. We aren't just throwing this prayer list up to God and saying, I hope God can do it. No, we know God can do it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He's let us become His child. We are His son. We are His daughter, if you will. We are children of God. Joint heirs with Christ. And that is the desire that He has for everyone in this world. The most wicked person you might think of tonight, whoever that person is, the love of God is available for that person. The love of God is available for the most evil person, I don't know who that is, alive tonight. But the love of God is available for that person. As much as it was for me, I was the enemy of God. You were the enemy of God before you got saved. Now we go from being an enemy to being his child. What motivates you? What motivates you? May it not be that God is our employer. No, God is our Father. May it not be that we're motivated by fame or fortune. May we be motivated to love and obey God because we know that God loves us. Because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment. And we want to be found faithful when He returns. May we never forget the agony of the cross. We have it really bad. Sometimes we get to thinking that. Go to the cross. Go read John 20, John 19, John 20. Praise God, we have a new nature. Praise God, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We don't even have to love God on our own. We love God as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. We have a Father who wants to meet our every need. We have a Father who's given us His Spirit. We have a Father who's given us His Word. We have a Father who's given us the church, the family of God. Think about it. May we not allow the world's way of motivation to creep into the church. May we not allow the world's way of motivation to creep into our own heart. Nothing wrong with working hard. Nothing wrong with being successful. Nothing wrong with that. But as children of God, our motivator is not what this world can have. Boy, that song we sang earlier tonight about it, it's not our final home. But until then, some of the lyrics on that song, both songs were really good, Brother Jonathan, praise God. But that song had the lyrics in it that are just so timely for right now about all the world and the things of the world. They're just temporary. Now, praise God, we have them. Praise God, we have a car, we have a house, we have a bus, we have a taxi sometimes we need. Praise God, we have these things, but they're temporary. But for all eternity, we'll be with the Lord Jesus, we'll be with our Father, and we'll be with the family. What great motivators God has given us. Let's go.